Welcome, Foreign Born Mamas. My name is Nurjan Stirbins, and I'm the host of this podcast, where I'll be sharing my personal journey of self-awakening and healing childhood traumas in the hopes that it will inspire you to begin your own self-healing journey and transform your life. Each episode will focus on raising our self-awareness about our traumas and share tools, insights, and conversations that helped me to grow my mindset, to heal my traumas, and transform my mental health. On this podcast, we are going to transform your childhood story and kickstart your own journey into self-healing and self-growth so that you can finally be your authentic self, be happy, and thrive in this new country you now call home. Hello, foreign-born mamas. Thank you so much for listening in. In this episode, I want to talk to you about intergenerational trauma. Quite a word to pronounce, I have to say. You will probably hear me tripping on trying to say this word today. But anyway, the reason I want to talk about intergenerational trauma is because this trauma could be very invisible in our lives, and we may not even be aware of it, but it has such a huge effect in terms of how it could impact your life. Did you know that trauma can be passed from one generation to another? Just like your eye color, your shape of ear or face, or your height, the color of your hair, your personalities were passed down to you by your parents or grandparents. Trauma can also be passed from one generation to the next. Crazy, right? When I heard this for the first time, my eyes just went wild and I was like, what? And in fact, epigenetics, the study that focuses on genes and gene expression and alteration of gene codes, they confirmed after doing some research on trauma survivors that trauma can alter the gene functions of a person. And it can be inherited from one generation to the next. So why am I telling you guys all this? I'm sharing this to explain that some of your childhood traumas that were passed down to you, that you might be experiencing, are actually maybe caused by intergenerational traumas. In other words, traumas that were passed down to you through your grandparents or great-grandparents or your parents. And if you're not aware of them and you don't intentionally try to change them, choose to do something different, you may risk of doing the same thing in your family line and passing down the same hurtful, unhealthy patterns and behaviors to your children. And so that's why it's so important to raise self-awareness on this topic. So let's give an example. I recently found out through talking to my mom that my grandpa from my dad's side was a very abusive alcoholic. And she was telling me that he used to torment his wife and children all night. He was very violent. He was very emotionally, verbally, and physically very abusive to his wife and children. And he would always try to submit them to his will. And my grandma and six kids that she had at that time would hide blankets in different caves, in different ditches, under different trees, in attics, just in case they have to run and hide and spend the night somewhere outside because they didn't know what's going to happen or how he's going to behave. They never felt safe to be inside or around him. And so apparently he had this really hot temper and he would not stop from possibly physically hurting and threatening to kill my grandma. And so when I heard this story, I remembered my dad, who used to do the same things to my mom and then to us. I remember how we would hide in various basements under different trees. We would find sometimes empty construction houses to stay dry and warm and wait it out. And we would wait until my dad would fall asleep, and then we would come back and climb into our beds. And I remember how unpredictable he was. We would be eating dinner in silence, no eye contact, and he would suddenly grab the ceramic bowl from a soup and he would throw it at my mom without any reason. And he would find some kind of reason to blame her for something. And he would also torture her all night, would not allow her to sleep. He would ask her to do all kinds of things. And eventually my mom got really tired because she also had a full-time job with really long shifts at the textile factory. And because she was desperate, my mom started using us, her children, as her shields. And it helped a little bit, I think, because my dad was not hurting us physically. But eventually it didn't stop my dad from his behaviors, and he would find other ways to torment and torture my mom. And we children were suffering in the middle of it. And I remember how one day my grandma, my dad's mom, came to visit us in the city for a week. All four of us kids, we were so excited to see her. She was this really kind, generous, and gentle person. And I remember how she would tell us fairy tale stories, and she would always make us something really yummy with butter and bread and honey munched up together. And I remember how she smelled of milk and earth. I loved her. And I think the reason we were so happy that she came to visit us was because I think as children, we hoped that we would have a peaceful week. We thought that her being here in our house would deter my dad from his usual behavior, and maybe we'll have potentially a quiet week. And I think that's why we were so excited. But on her visit, my dad, as usual, got drunk and came home and started doing his thing again. And my grandma being there didn't seem to stop him. And he acted just like he used to, physically and emotionally abusing everyone around him, being violent and not letting anyone to sleep. And my grandma tried to intervene and she tried to stop him from hitting my mom, but he just pushed her away. And I remember how at that moment, my grandma started to cry and she kept saying, "After all that we have been through, I just can't believe you became just like your dad. How could you?" And I could see how disappointed, sad, and fearful she was for not only herself, but for us. But I think she also felt very helpless in this situation. And the thing is, I don't think my grandma knew that my dad's dad and her actually passed down their pains and traumas to my dad, that it was partially their fault. And I'm not here to blame them, just to explain how my grandma was unaware of the impact of their parenting and all those traumatic experiences, that those experiences affected my dad, why he's who he is now. And I don't think she knew the impact of those events that were happening on my dad and how it was affecting his brain and his self-esteem and how my dad was actually in pain, in a lot of pain that he probably have inherited through them, their pains, and he probably also developed on the way his own pains of how he was experiencing things. And in fact, I am inclined to believe that my great-great-parents, I don't have a lot of knowledge about their life, must have had similar parents like my grandpa, and probably they had similar traumatic experiences. I have no proof of that, but I have an intuition that that's probably what happened. Otherwise, how would we explain the behavior of my grandpa, right? Because if he grew up in a family where he was loved and supported and seen, he probably would have not had so much pain and trauma in his life, and he wouldn't be acting that way towards the people he loved, his wife and children. And so this situation, this awakening and self-awareness and knowledge about what happened in my family line made me then look at a larger scale of what was happening in Kyrgyzstan. The alcoholism and domestic abuse and violence against women is the highest ever it's ever been, and it's been always like that. And hitting women and kids and being physically, verbally abusive or sexually abusing, you know, girls, incest. There are a lot of violence happening against girls and women in Kyrgyzstan, and it's very common reality. And now that we know that intergenerational trauma can be passed on through genes and experiences, I can't help but feel sadness and compassion to all those men and women in Kyrgyzstan and parents who are possibly drinking and being violent and abusing physically and verbally and emotionally the people around them without even realizing that they have a lot of traumas in their lives, some of them that they have inherited from their parents through modeling that they received, and some of them are their personal traumas that they have perceived through the experiences that they had as a child growing up in that violent environment. And I am assuming that at some point in our history of Kyrgyz people, there might have been some major traumas that our people experienced. And those traumas must be really big. I'm thinking, like, I know we had this big migration where our people had to flee to China because there was this big fear of Russian invasion happening in Kyrgyzstan. Or it could be Mongolian invasion, or it could be Persian invasion. But I think as a way to cope, Kyrgyz people must have begun drinking alcohol and acting out their pains on the people around them, especially their children and their wives. And I don't have proof of that, but just knowing about trauma and how it can make person behave and around people and how it can impact their lives, and learning so much about coping mechanism, I'm just assuming that our people in Kyrgyzstan must have had major traumas that have not been healed, and they have been just passed down from one generation to the next. And maybe that's why we have so much violence and domestic abuse happening in Kyrgyzstan, and there have never been a mental health available for these people to get help. And so by learning about intergenerational trauma and how it is passed down from one generation to another really opened my eyes to the pain of my people in Kyrgyzstan, to the pain of my family, to the pain of my grandpa, and to the pain of my dad. And in a way, I think it allowed me to feel some compassion I never knew I had for my dad and all the people I used to resent, all the men I used to resent in Kyrgyzstan. So what can we do about our intergenerational traumas? The good news is that unlike our parents and grandparents who had no access to information about traumas, who had no help in getting, you know, therapy or just learning about the condition of the brain or how trauma affects them, who had no awareness or support in healing traumas, no Google to find answers to their struggles, no people to support them, no choice actually other than to survive their realities. Unlike them, today we have a choice now. We have resources, we have access, we have protection, we have awareness, we have mental health support. We can now choose to do things differently. How we want to behave and want to feel, how we want to parent, how we want to heal our traumas, how we want to cope with our struggles, how we want to parent our children. We can break all these intergenerational cycles and patterns and traumas running wildly in our lives and install new ways of being, new ways of thinking, new ways of behaving, new ways of living, actually. And I remember there was a time in my adolescent life when I was a college student and we used to have this college parties. I mean, it's not in the dorm. We would go to a cafe and we would heavily drink and we would dance. And that was a way for a lot of young people in Kyrgyzstan to have fun and hang out. And I think when we do that, a lot of young people just, you know, you're drunk, right? You forget about your pain and you just numbing it with alcohol. And in the process, you feel like you just forgot about your reality and you're somewhere else. And this is a very common thing in Kyrgyzstan among young people. And I joined this, you know, drinking parties because I wanted to be part of the people, young people. I wanted to make friends and I wanted to have fun. And I also wanted to escape my pain. So I did join this, you know, young people gatherings and I drank. And I probably would have continued drinking if, thankfully, for my poverty situation, you know, I told you guys that I was very poor and had no money. And so to when you had no money, you can't really join these parties often. And so I eventually felt that I didn't belong to them because I couldn't keep up. I didn't have money. And I think which was a blessing in disguise because then I had to shift my focus on studying because that's something I could do. And so I shifted my focus on studying English and getting a job. And by this one action, I chose to do things differently than my dad, my brothers or sisters did. By this single different choice, I changed the course of my life, I think. And I led myself to be propelled into learning English and meeting new people from other countries, learning new ways of being, exposing myself to new ideas, new things, and here I am now, guys, in the U.S., having a beautiful house, having a safe neighborhood, living a peaceful life, raising children differently than I was raised, changing sort of the course of my family line. And in a way, I think I'm breaking the traumas and healing them with my actions by breaking the intergenerational patterns in my family line, and I am choosing intentionally to do things differently. And instead of drinking, numbing, and avoiding, I am actually now doing different things to heal myself by, you know, working with my emotions, by acknowledging what happened, raising my self-awareness, doing a lot of yoga and mindfulness exercises. And through these actions, I am slowly healing myself. And this then helping my children in terms of how they see me showing up and how what I'm modeling and how I am coping with my emotions and how I am talking about it and how I'm choosing to do things differently. And I think I am healing these traumas in my family line through me. It is stopping with me because I am choosing to stop it from passing to the next generation again. And so that's why I talk a lot about personal responsibility, how we have to take a stand and decide that it has to stop with us. And maybe that's why I came to the US. Maybe that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Maybe that's how the universe is telling me that someone needed to stop this pain from running wild in our family line. Anyways, I hope this was insightful and helpful. Hope it raised your self-awareness or piqued your curiosity. That's how you awaken. That's how we all awaken and we begin the healing process where we choose to do things differently than what was modeled to us, what was passed to us. The amazing thing is our brain and our genes are so adaptable and it's possible to change them. They're neuroplastic. So everything new that we do are altering our genes back and healing us. And in a way, then we are helping not only to heal our family line, and we're helping the whole next generation. And if your parents or grandparents are alive, I would highly recommend that you guys start asking them about their childhood. What were their parents like? What kind of events or hardships they had experienced? Because by doing this, we not only connect to our family and our ancestors, but in a way, if you think about it, we connect to ourselves. I think it's a very important part of self-discovery. So I highly recommend that you guys get in touch with, you know, your grandparents or family members and start asking those questions while they're alive, and so that you can not only understand them, develop some empathy towards them, but also towards yourself. And I know through my own experience that through this process, I dropped the blame and hurt that I had so much for my dad. And in a way, I was able to become open to forgiveness and let go. We are releasing a lot of unhealthy pain and energy that we were holding in our bodies. And we will feel lighter, we will feel happier. And that's how you know you are healing. So that's one of the ways we will be healing. And you're going to feel better. And when you feel better, then you're going to take actions that will help you to be the mom you want to be and creating a life where you're thriving and you're happy and you are yourself. Did you enjoy this podcast episode? Did it help you in any way to feel inspired, supported, and grow as a foreign-born mama? If it helped you, it is going to help other foreign-born mamas too. Please share this podcast episode with other moms and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or any platform that you use, and help us to get our message out to more mamas out there who might be struggling right now in their marriages, relationships, and parenting. I hope the stories and conversations are awakening you, where you find yourself saying, "Oh my God, that's me." When we begin recognizing ourselves in the stories, we begin recognizing our truths. And that's how the self-awakening process begins. And that's how I started my self-healing and self-awakening journey. And so I am so excited to see more foreign-born moms awakening like this and feeling inspired to change their lives and the lives of their children. I'm hoping to release episodes every Monday or Wednesday, but I would highly recommend that you subscribe to the podcast so that you can be notified immediately when the new episode drops. And if you would like to kickstart your own self-discovery and self-healing journey, I have also created a list of my favorite books that have absolutely changed my life. Definitely download that and check that out. Lastly, I am hoping to create a community of like-minded foreign-born moms who are the survivors of childhood trauma and trying to heal themselves and parent intentionally. So if you're interested to continue the conversations on trauma and our real experiences in terms of how it shows up in our lives and how it affects us, and share tips and guidance with each other, please join us in the free Foreign Born Mama Facebook community group. The link for joining the group is in the show notes. Thank you again. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I am so excited to help you on your journey of self-awakening, self-healing, self-growth as a foreign-born mama, so that you can finally be your authentic self, be happy, and thrive in the new country you now call home.